Our lesson from the New Testament is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Listen for God's word. Now, God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, and that was in Psalm 8, Old Testament. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Here ends the reading from Hebrews chapter 2. What are we human beings anyway? Are we just combinations of chemicals worth a dollar or two? Are we nothing more than slightly sophisticated animals? Are we simply bundles of drives toward sex, power, and wealth? How we answer that question is terribly important, because our answer determines how we live and how we treat one another. Now, the writer of Hebrews reiterated this question that I have raised today. Only he framed the question in the words of the psalmist, asking God, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet." What a profound answer to a crucial question. God has made us a little lower than the angels. God has crowned us with glory and honor. In fact, as Genesis tells us, God created us in God's own image. And that's not all, for God has given us dominion over all creation. No wonder we have potential we have hardly even tapped. Think of our physical ability, for example. Swimmer Michael Phelps has won 18 Olympic gold medals, 22 medals overall. Even Argentina, with Olympic soccer, tennis, and NBA stars, has won one less Olympic gold in its 112-year Olympic history than Michael Phelps. And just last week, at age 31, he qualified again for the Olympics in Rio. And think of our mental ability. By the age of 26, England's Sir Isaac Newton had discovered the laws of gravity, motion, and optics, had created calculus, some of us regret that, and was even master of the Royal Mint. Did that 1/17th century man provide more scientific knowledge than any person in our history? Perhaps Einstein himself was not even close. And think of our spiritual ability. Every now and then, the human race produces a Gandhi or an Augustine, or Francis of Assisi, or John Calvin, or Martin Luther, or Mother Teresa. And yet, what's far more important, it produces millions of humble Christians who have never made a name for themselves in any way, but who seek to serve God in everything that they do, from working at their jobs for the glory of God to saying the evening blessing with their families. I think Herb Barks has said much about us in his little poem, Bad Grammar and All. Listen, believe it, you are a real find, a joy in someone's heart. You are a jewel, unique and priceless. I don't care how you feel, believe it. God don't make no junk, and God doesn't make any junk. God made you in God's own image and gave you the capacity to be like God. God crowned you with glory and honor. You are a jewel, a joy in someone's heart. And that someone is none other than Almighty God. Still, every human being, just like a coin, has two sides. We human beings are crowned with glory and honor, yes, but Hebrews also says we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, that is, to human beings. No. As much as we jump for joy over our human accomplishments, just as much do we also slump in despair over our personal junk, misery, failure, and sin. Let's face it, even though we were created in the image of God, we are also sinners, living in bondage to sin. Therefore, we sometimes have to admit, I can't control my temper. I lash out at people and hurt them again and again. Or we say, I can't control my actions. For I do not do the thing I want, but I do the very thing I hate. That's what the Apostle Paul said. But Paul goes on to say that it was sin that dwelled within him that caused his condition and ours. Sin becomes a symbol for the destructive forces released within us when we are not in the proper relationship with God and with one another. So in spite of God's incredible love for us, we may still have a junky opinion of ourselves. As Swiss psychiatrist Paul Tournier once pointed out, not self-love but self-loathing is the chief problem of the contemporary personality. A famous bachelor, for example, was repeatedly asked why he had never married. He replied, well, it's so difficult living with myself that I wouldn't even ask my worst enemy to share that experience, much less someone I supposedly love. Moreover, we're not only in bondage to sin, but we are also in bondage to death as well. We don't like to think about death, let alone talk about it. Plus, I have more bad news for those of you who are much younger than I am. The older you get, the more you seem to hear about death. Why so? Because your lifelong friends, classmates, family members, and church members die with increasing frequency. For example, one day I picked up a copy of our magazine, Presbyterians Today. In it was a customary monthly list of Presbyterian pastors who had died in the last month. I saw in that one list the names of six pastors with whom I had worked over the years. They had died and entered the church triumphant. I was stunned and saddened. Even though we believe in heaven, part of the reason we fear death is the fact that it takes away from us all the people we hold so dear in our lives. We're just not ready to say goodbye to them. So no longer how you look at it, we are in bondage to death as well as to sin. And we need to be delivered from total bondage if we are to be who and what God created us to be. Do you see any hope for us in this situation? Yes. Hebrews says, we do see Jesus as our hope. It was Jesus who came to deliver us from bondage to sin and death. Jesus identified with us in our human situation. No matter how hard it is to understand, Jesus really became a human being. How we forget that, sometimes even in our effort to be orthodox. A San Antonio firm once sold Christmas cards that said on page one of the card, "We are proud to announce it's a boy." And then, strangely, page two of the card read, "In commemoration of the birth of a child that was never really born and the death of a man who never really died." As Martin Marty has said, the card tells the whole story, condensed, of every heresy the early church fought against in its witness to the birth and death of Jesus Christ. That Christmas card illustrated one such heresy when it claimed that Jesus was never really born. Now that was the heresy of Docetism that denies that Jesus ever became a human being. On the contrary, it says that Jesus just seemed to be human and was more like a phantom. And yet that denies the incarnation, a basic Christian doctrine. Yes, Jesus was God, but he was also human. He looked like a man, talked like a man, became weary like a man. He was a man. And Jesus also died like a man, even though the card stated that Jesus never really died. Other groups, also accused of Docetism, held that Jesus was a man in the flesh, but that Christ was a separate being. They said that Christ entered Jesus' body at his baptism, but abandoned him when he died on the cross. No, no. Jesus even tasted death, Hebrews says, which doesn't mean he just got the flavor of it. On the cross, he drank it to the dregs and died. And yet, by identifying with us as a human being and dying a real death for us, Jesus set us free from our bondage to sin and death. As a result, we can be the persons God created us to be, namely, sons and daughters of God, crowned with glory and honor. Today, we keep the memorial of Jesus' death and sacrifice at this supper. This supper tells us that we are forgiven because of what Christ did for us. We can now continue to be the persons God created us to be, sons and daughters of God, crowned with glory and honor. And even as we keep this memorial, we know that death itself will not be able to hold us. Why not? Because our host is Jesus, Jesus the risen Jesus, who conquered death once and for all, and who will welcome us home someday. May this supper refresh you now and give you hope. And that-